whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are scattered across DFW as we come in on this wintry Thursday, and we have 5 hours of sports content here for you. We'll start with the latest on the Mavs. We'll talk some college football. We'll get Stars in here for you, Cowboys speculation as well, General at your service, live here from Studio G in Sunnyvale, Texas. You have Brian Broaddus at 75 and Fitzhugh there, former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, Super Bowl champion.
Feats
Lucius
of strength.
Alexander is on his way to the Pimp Cup at Master Control there. Of course, Woolchuck and Chia follower in the house, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video along with you. We are the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and a good afternoon to you, gentlemen. How is the weather treating you in your neck of the Metroplex?
We're loaded up with the snow here in Plano. We got a pretty good amount. I mean, I'd say at least 4 inches right now in our backyard. Now, we'll see if that continues. I don't know if we'll get some meltage, but we took baby girl out there. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. So that was an amazing moment to get to see her hanging out. And we got some good family pics, but all good right now. I tried to sit up as far away as I could from the baby's room. So hopefully we don't hear any screaming during the show.
Right on. Well, we appreciate that. Chief, how you doing? You guys have some fun with the kiddos in the snow today?
Yes. The snow has been legendary. And unfortunately, you know, you get a little frostbite situation going. That hurts. Now, is the same thing happening to you guys when I talk as it was when Walchuk was talking?
Yep.
A little echo vibes?
Echo, yep.
Getting a little double back. Okay, I think it's been cleared. I feel great now. I don't know about y'all, but my ears are feeling good.
We're good, baby.
We're good. Yeah, the snow was amazing, and the girls have been soaking it in, man. We've been in and out quite a bit. They love to go. It takes 15 minutes to get dressed up, and then you go outside for about 4.5 minutes, and then they freeze, and then you run back inside and you declothe, and then it gets all wet and muddy everywhere, and then 20 minutes later they want to do it again. So we've been having ourselves a good time, in and out, but we got the pizza in the oven, and we're doing this thing real.
Yeah, I tell you what, one of the great things about working with the Green Bay Packers is they give you a bunch of gear. So, like, galoshes and, like, pants and jackets and stuff like that. So, just bundle on up and come on out. So, yeah, the gloves, everything. It's funny, you get fired from a job, but you get to take home gear to wear later in life. So, really cool there to be a part of that. But nice to be here with Lucius today in the studio.
Are hearing me twice. Is that what's happening?
I
think I'm going to need to get this figured out with DJ and the Pimp Cup on this end. You know, obviously we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I can throw out topics and then let you guys kick it around. And when you know that you're done talking about it, maybe throw it back to me. But Mavs hosting the Trailblazers tonight, 7:30, a game I feel like you got to have to start building confidence. And as rough as your roster is, I believe you're better than this Portland group. It's a Blazers team that you know, is young. You know, the very low basketball IQ, and you just have to take it as a point of pride that you're a playoff team with veterans and go out and take care of business against guys like Scoot Henderson and Jeremy Grant. You know, it shouldn't be difficult. I think they're riding a good amount of momentum coming in here, and you know, so I'm looking forward to another quality and entertaining basketball game, and hopefully some more Mavs success tonight, guys.
Likewise, yeah, it's time to lock in. You go ahead and you get the victory that nobody was expecting you to get versus the Lakers. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's try and take this confidence and ride this wave here for a couple of games. This is one that you really want to have in the midst of this stretch without your dogs. This is one that you can usually chalk up to going ahead and getting it done. So hopefully these guys offensively can step up once again. And again, I like those the Kleba, Najee Marshall, PJ Washington, those three man lineups defensively, I think are going to be another thing you're going to want to press that button in this particular game if you're a kid.
Agreed, and it's a little revenge factor, right? Because the Blazers knocked you off right after you thought, okay, you got a big win over the Suns. Like, here we go. Now you're going to start to stack up some wins. So now you're in a similar situation. You've got to get back here. And I think we actually got a little bit of good news. Daniel Gafford, game-time decision is what I saw most recently. I figured he would have been ruled out already. So maybe the ankle not quite as bad as we had already thought. But this is definitely a game, even without Luka and Kyrie, we saw how well they were able to play against the Lakers. This is a game they've got to have. And it's crazy. I saw Mavs Muse put out. They've essentially got the same record this year as they did at this point in the season a year ago. So all things are really kind of status quo for the Mavericks as we looked at where they were at this point in January. Now things started to go really haywire now leading into the All-Star break, and then they made the big moves when we were out there at the Super Bowl at the trade deadline. So this is big. Can you start to stack up some wins? And that'll help you. I mean, Brian, this is one you can't afford to lose, mainly because of you're looking at the schedule, and you've got some teams where it's like, okay, shorthanded, we're probably not going to be able to beat these guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm the guy that seems to be the big worry guy. I was looking at the schedule and trying to put wins together, and where were these wins, where are they going to come from? And so, you know, you got to figure that out. Guys, I did a little, a little research and asked some people at the Mavs. You know, we were talking about some of the reports that, with Nico, is he calling? Is he trying to? What are they trying to go? Try and find, you know, because we were confused whether they were taking calls, were people trying to pick off their depth. You know, guys are like, listen, we're really thin right now, and especially with the two guards being out. So they feel like, though, that, you know, with all three of their point guards, you know, going to be out, they're going to need Dinwiddie to kind of step up. And, he stepped up the other night. They feel like they could be okay until one of those guys get back. Yeah. But if he continues to struggle like he had before, you know, that they might be in a little bit of problem. So the word is that they might be looking for some guard help, especially if, like I say, they're going to see what they got with Dinwiddie and see if they can go with it. And if it works out like it did against the Lakers, great. If it doesn't, then maybe they're going to burn up these phones a little more.
That would make a lot of sense. And the game time moved up an hour due to the weather. I wonder how many people are in the building there, the AAC 877-881-1053. Like, if you're heading out there, let us know. If you are driving around, how are the roads right now? I'd be curious about that. I mean, Brian, you got to come in.
Yeah.
You're battle-tested with those years in Lambeau.
Yeah.
We're over here growing up. I mean, Eric and I are North Texas Mean Green, and Denton always gets some bad weather, but we're used to it here in the DFW. We just go ahead, and as the morning show was talking about it, we're going to pull the blankets over our heads and wait for this thing to thaw out.
Yeah, coming in, I'm only 3 miles from the office here, so it's pretty simple little drive to me. As I look out at 75 going north and south, there are very, very few cars out there. And, you know, as the day wears on, I think there's going to be a little bit more treachery when it comes to the roads and stuff like that. So really happy you guys are safe and everything's okay for you guys at home. That's the most important thing, that you guys are not having to fight this thing, you know, like 5 hours from now. And, you know, it's going to be pretty simple for me to fight it just going up the road. But you guys, it's a little bit longer trek.
Walchuk, what room did you choose in your house?
I'm in the man cave. I posted up in the man cave, but I'm in like the far back wall. If you're watching on the fan cam, you can see I kind of left the windows open, so maybe you could see the snow outside. That's failed miserably. The entire setup just looks terrible. I don't have the podcasting awesome background deal. I mean, Gavin looked like he was in Miami, like South Beach, which the way he's able to kind of put the fake background, I'm a little envious, but I am literally the farthest I possibly could be, the opposite direction from the baby's room.
Yeah.
So I was hoping we wouldn't hear her scream, but I'm sure she will make an appearance at some time during the show. The dog, our golden retriever Lila, is already trying to bust in here. I hear her clawing on the door outside. So we'll see how this thing goes. This is 5 hours. I feel like we're back in pandemic radio right now. 2020 vibes.
I know.
We're working out some of the kinks. We've got a little bit of the delays. The guests are going to be fun. I mean, we got three guests today. We're going to have to be pointing at each other. Mm. You go. No, I go. No, you go. And then the delay with the guests is also going to be something we're going to work through. So I'm sure the Tolos are having a last listening to this absolute bleep show right now.
Yeah, I'm getting a little nostalgic. I am getting back to the pandemic days. Now, how close are you to the infamous couch that your friend unfortunately defecated on?
Oh man, I'm like 6 feet away. I'm looking right at that cushion. Cushion.
Show us the cushion.
You guys want to see
cushion.
It?
Yes.
You guys
put the camera. Camera to cushion, please.
Well, this is good for the people watching for us.
Yeah, this is good for the people watching. Yeah.
That his friend Jared, at 33 years old, incidentally had a fart go awry.
That's the cushion right there, and it's been cleaned pretty nicely.
Looks good, man. Looks fresh.
There might be like a baby powder mark because maybe I sat on it earlier. But otherwise, we're good to go. I mean, Eric, you were talking about the baby powder and like all the bottles. Dude, yeah. I'm going to go through about one of those big bottles, I'd say, every 6 weeks. I mean, I'm powdering every day.
Wow, dude. Seems like you might be doubling up if you're going through it every 6 weeks. And does that mean that you will powder up and then you will free ball your way to your couch and just sit on it bare like that?
I had to stop when the mother-in-law was staying with us, but she just got herself an apartment. So now I'm back to free balling, boys.
I love it, dude. The man cave is the man cave for a reason. That is freaking fantastic.
Thank God. What about you? Are you in the bedroom right now?
Yeah. I'm in the master bedroom. That's where
I'm at. How many children of the three were born right there? On that very bed.
Actually, none of them were born in this bed.
Dang it!
Actually, the bed, yes, but not this room because we had our last baby the day before we moved into this house.
That's right.
Remember, it was a total bleep show.
Yes,
so we had it at my parents' house.
Yes, my gosh, that was absolutely
that was an
emergency that you did not want to have. Oh, hey, we got baby one sighting today.
We
this
got
is
people
fun.
Running in all over the place. So, yeah, I'm fired up, though. I do wonder, Walchuk, how many people are actually going to be at this Mavs game tonight? Because we had people texting us earlier this week saying, like, hey, I got tickets to Thursday's game, and I'm too scared to get on the roads. So I'm just basically punting on these tickets.
I'll tell you, if you're definitely going 75 south, you have a shot, and then you could exit right there by the stadium and go right in. So
you know,
are the
darts? You think the darts are rocking?
Oh, like, yeah,
Brian,
absolutely.
This might be a great dart day.
Yeah. Just go down there and park and get on the dart and go for it. Yeah.
I had a dart in the backyard right before the show started.
I knew you would.
You've
had a pack of darts already this morning.
Best part about being home. Yeah. I mean, I could just sneak a square and it's no problem. There's something about two. I mean, can everybody agree with this? Burning anything in the cold is just 1,000 times better. Whatever it is that you're burning, if you're in the cold and doing it, it's just better.
Well, and then you do a little wanting out there. Next thing you know, the snow's yellow.
Okay, so I have to be careful. Walchuk, your baby doesn't run around yet. So my kids, they're getting in every nook and cranny of the snow in the backyard. So my wife, literally, that was one of the first things she said to me, hey, don't do the thing I know you're dying to do, which is make that snow go a little bit yellow.
Yeah, she knows you. She knows you very, very well. We do have the college football playoff semifinal tonight. This thing's getting cranked up. Eric, I know you're going to have like the glorious breakdown of just today going through Monday night. Like, we are just in absolute playoff euphoria right now.
This is paradise, dude. I mean, this is exactly how you want to draw it up. I love how they have staggered these things so you get prominent game tonight, tomorrow night, and then you know what the NFL's bringing you Saturday through Monday. So this 5-day stretch, like, I kissed my wife goodbye before this show started.
Just give her a pre-warning, man. This, like, is gonna be crazy.
Like, honey, just because I'm within striking distance, by no means does that mean that we will actually be doing anything other than just footballing our balls off together.
You guys think there are gonna be any upsets either in the college football playoff or in the NFL this weekend?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Chaos? I mean, is that we all love wild card weekend though, for the NFL. We love wild card weekend. Divisional round's really good too, but you kind of feel like there're going to be some teams when we get back around on Tuesday and start talking about all this stuff that man, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I think they're certainly – that's in the cards, no question. Now, I'm looking ahead to a couple of these and you're kind of thinking outright. Like, obviously, you're either thinking the seed, is it the seed, or is it the actual spread, you know, because that's the thing. Like, the Vikings obviously are going to be that's not as shocking upset if they're going on the road and beating the Rams here. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, the Commanders going to Tampa, I mean, just seeing what we saw, the way Cooper Rush and the Cowboys offense was able to sort of have their way, even though they couldn't run the ball at all, through the air, having their way with the Bucs. Like, I can't get that out of my mind. The idea that Jaden Daniels is not just going to be going absolutely scorched versus these guys, to me, that's that would be, you know, a road team, a one of the wild card teams getting a victory. I think that's happening.
I agree with that. I think Commanders Bucks is one where I'd lean Commanders as well. I still am holding out hope for the Packers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Jordan Love's like, yeah, I think I'm going to play. I'm expecting to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that means he's just not trying to let the Eagles know for sure, is he or isn't he. But I think we saw what Green Bay did last year, making a run coming into Dallas, and what they were able to do as the seventh seed. I think they can do it. And, guys, there's something about the Steelers are on a four-game losing streak. They split with the Ravens. Lamar has struggled against Pittsburgh in the past, and no Zay Flowers. He was ruled out today. But, I mean, a 9.5-point favorite right now is what Baltimore is. Like, would it be crazy to say, okay, I would not be stunned if we come in on Monday and it's like, holy heck, Russell Wilson and the Steelers are in the second round and the Ravens just got booted early.
Man, I would I think I would be stunned. Now, is the spread a little bit large there? I do think that taking the Steelers there plus 9.5 is a fair play. But, gosh, the Steelers have just looked so bad over the last four or five games. Their offense, Russell Wilson, all that big play stuff that they've been able to do, I mean, that's just been that's been non-existent for the last month in their offense.
Yeah, it has been.
All righty, you guys got me?
We got you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Dawson.
No echo.
Hey, buddy. Oh, right on. We are echo-free. We are off and running. Heck of a job there holding it down. Thank you so much for that. So much going on here in the world of sport as we kick off this Thursday. Guys, I'm literally just I just stayed home out of convenience, which isn't that convenient right now because of the technical difficulties, but we did get it figured out. But I just got a you know, house full of kids, and it was easier to stay back at the house. But if I need to, I'll run in there, no problem. I don't think we have any accumulation. Like, it came down like as a wintry mix, a little bit, and started to gather a little bit on the grass. But we're good to go. Stars at the Flyers, 6 o'clock tonight. Stars have won 5 in a row. Cool piece in the morning news today. Coach DeBoer talking about their focus on getting results in overtime and coming off that win over the Rangers. They're now 4-1 after the initial 60 minutes so far this year. So that is cool. Troy Aikman on his weekly radio show talking Mike McCarthy. We can get into that as well. But G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. A college football darty is coming up next. Chief, where are you taking it?
We got flu bugs, bummed out fans, and a big-name quarterback update next year in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're staying warm out there. Have the G-Bag of the Day coming up in 9 minutes. If you are at home and you're thinking about watching something later on, streaming something, maybe binge-watching, I would just say don't watch this show, Baby Reindeer. I was subjected to it for about the first 3 or 4 episodes last night. It's about this stalker chick in England who's stalking this dude, and holy cow, that was unsettling. Okay, segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. We go across the Metroplex to Eric Chiafalo, who's ready to stand and deliver a college football darty. Here's the Chief.
Let's do this thing. The football starts now. The next 5 days are going to be amazing, fellas. I'm really, really looking forward to it. The baby reindeer thing, you got by that as well, huh? Yeah, I was I think I lasted, I don't even know, an episode and a half, 2 episodes. I heard it was supposed to be amazing.
It gets way worse.
That was
ridiculous. Dude, it gets, it's insane. I actually, I couldn't stop watching it. I thought it was gripping. I thought it was a phenomenal show.
You made it through?
I did. And there's some parts where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know that I really want to ever see that again. But by the end of it, man, I couldn't stop. Like, I couldn't stop watching it. I had to find out what happened at the end.
Wow. Maybe I need to resume. Maybe I've gotten through the worst.
No. We'll have to see which part you're talking about, because I don't know. I don't think you have gotten through the worst of it. I would stop if I were you.
I feel like I got through the worst of it last night. I said, we're done here. We are done. Yeah. Feel like I was watching the old movie Kids or something at times. It was just horrible.
Yep. All right, anyway, you're good. Yep, you're good.
Okay.
I'm through the worst of it.
Yep.
All right, let's resume with this college football darty then. Thank you, old Chuck.
All right, let's do this thing. Apparently, the Notre Dame locker room is battling a bit of a flu outbreak ahead of their game tonight versus Penn State in Miami. Now, the report reveals, which is just funny, those who have it bad. But it sounds like it's just mostly backups and special teams players. So they're kind of like,
what?
That means the referees won't have anybody to run into on the bench then when they're coming flying down the field trying to make a call, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many team meetings do you think took place after that Georgia Bulldog moment last week? Every coach probably had.
Got to have some awareness. If you're a dude like me, then you don't play. You got to have awareness. Sideline awareness is important there. You know, you got to know those officials and how they work and stuff like that. Matter of fact, you got to go up and talk to them before the game, kind of like, hey, you know, kind of butter them up a little bit. Like, hey, listen, I'm sorry if I get in your way today. I don't mean it. I'm just a young kid. I'm excited about football, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow, that's your pro tip to the
If you're a guy that doesn't play a lot, you know, go up to the official, kind of, you know, and introduce yourself. Say, hey, listen, you're going to see me. I go out there like 7 times. I snap a ball. I come back. You know, that kind of thing. Don't let them hit me with my helmet gets knocked sideways on my head and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you got to be aware, though, of these officials. Like, these officials will spit on you, too, every once in a while. You got to watch that.
You go in there, you make friends, you let them know, hey, you know, this other
you got a
team,
tough
we've
job.
Had history
yeah.
with them.
Yeah.
They'll get violent, you know, and we're just going to play everything above board, so really appreciate you taking care of us tonight. But every time I get screwed, I feel like I can trace it back to a moment of disrespect, either from a parent, a fan, or a coach, right? Yeah. And that stuff matters massively when it comes to getting the benefit of the doubt from the refs.
Oh, no, you got to, like I said, I got in trouble with the Bennett's high school coach because I told the official, I'm like, that's a really good team over there. They don't need your help. They really don't. Yeah. And then I got a flag for our team, a 15-yard and sportsmanlike conduct penalty. The coach looked at me and he said, Brian. And I said, Coach, I'm really sorry. I really am sorry. I did not mean to do that. And he goes, well, no, you're right, but just don't say it to these guys. And I'm like, all right, well, thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the coach was super nice about it. Yeah.
You get your sideline privileges revoked.
Well, I was the water boy. Like, you know, like I would go on the field. Like, we had all these kids that played both ways, so, like, they wouldn't have a chance to get a break. I would run on the field between series and make sure they got water, you know, because our kids were struggling with cramping and stuff like that. So I don't know why our training staff wasn't doing that, but old Brian was. He knew what dehydration was. He's seen it before, so yeah, that's I was a glorified water boy is what I was.
That's amazing. I wonder how many parents have the honor of being like, yeah, I've had a flag called on me during a game where I was just a parent sitting around in the stands or whatever. I think you're in the 1% on that one.
Yeah, probably. The role is very small in that room, yeah, to call that role.
Are you guys feeling for these particular Ohio State Buckeye fans, or are you just laughing at them? Because I saw a college football reporter who's on site in Miami for the Orange Bowl covering tonight's game. He tweeted out this morning, just ran into Ohio State fans in the hotel elevator. Of course, this is Notre Dame and Penn State. He says, just ran into Ohio State fans in the hotel elevator. They misread the bracket and thought Ohio State would be playing in the Orange Bowl. They'll be at Penn State Notre Dame tonight.
I hope they wear their gear.
Yes!
I hope they wear their Ohio State gear. You have to. Absolutely.
It gives you an opportunity if Ohio State wins. I guess you can scout out the opposition. You know, you try and look at it as positive. But that is hilarious. That is just, oh, my goodness, ultimate flub. We misread the bracket, and we bought tickets to the Orange Bowl. Hey, at least they're having better weather, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. At least that's a good point. At least you got a Miami trip out of it, you know, this time of year. So, I mean, you can try and pin the tail on the positive there. But yes, Broadus, I will be watching tonight's game, hoping that the cameras find these Buckeye fans.
Please.
And I hope they're just doused in scarlet.
Yeah. I want to see where, like, the old school Ohio State, you know, Archie Griffin, number 45. I'd love to see that. Face painted up. Let's go the whole 9 yards on that.
All right, we got big name quarterback news. Carson Beck, Georgia Bulldog quarterback, gets hurt in the SEC championship game, and decides that he's going to go ahead and declare for the NFL draft. Except not so fast. He is now going into the transfer portal. So he's punted on the draft, going into the transfer portal, and now apparently it's Miami and the Hurricanes there. Texas Tech is a team to watch, as well as Ohio State. I think it sounds like Miami is the favorite here, as they're trying to replace Cam Ward, and I have no idea what their plan was until this particular news broke. But Miami, Texas Tech, Ohio State, all apparently in the running for Carson Beck's services here. But he's coming off the elbow deal. I don't even know what his status is really going to be.
Yeah,
I might have that Joe Montana elbow next year.
Yeah,
all swollen up. You know, those can be hard to come back from. Brian, you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'll tell you what, though, like, you know, Georgia won a lot of games, and there were a lot of games where he put the games that they lost were a lot of the times because of him. You know, so I wonder. This is probably one of those things where Georgia's like, listen, fine, good, move on, we'll be good. You know, they were probably planning for this, and you know, Georgia will be probably better for it. But man, you know. Miami, let's give Miami some credit for what they did with their quarterback this year on that transfer portal.
Well done. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. There's your Darty.
Sweet. Now it's time for the G-Bag of the day. Lucius Alexander coming in hot to the Pimp Cup. He's got your champ and challengers. Lucius?
Can't believe I made it in here, bro. It's a lot going on. My mind is still not steady yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ran right into a fire. What did they say? Fresh out of the frying pan into the fire. That's what happened, bro.
Jeez.
Yeah, on my way here, I seen a 18-wheeler hanging off a bridge.
I saw a picture of that, Lucius.
What?
Yeah, bro.
Irving there, right?
Like a movie. Yeah. All I did was turn a corner. I was like, what's all this traffic going on? Like, there should be nobody out here. Then I look up, and there's a darn 18-wheeler hanging off a bridge. Like a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Yeah. Ooh, I still feel uncomfortable saying Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, God. Yeah, man.
Just call him Arnold.
Yeah, just call him Arnold, man. Arnold. Yeah. Shoot. And then my truck was slipping and sliding a little bit. Because there's not, like, any weight in that bag.
Yeah, I've seen people throw, like, concrete bags.
Yeah.
You know, get you some of that, those bags.
I should have did that. I wasn't thinking.
Give a little weight.
Yeah, I got stuck for a moment.
You were really slip, slide, trying to survive.
Slip, dude. Slide, trying to provide.
Oh, provide. Excuse me.
We listen, but we don't judge.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, then I got stuck for a second out there. You know, I almost panicked when I got stuck, and I was like, wait a minute, let me put it in a four-wheel drive situation.
Oh.
Cop came up, he asked me, you good? I was like, yeah, I got it. I'm right around the corner. I'm going to switch vehicles. I grabbed wifey's car, and now I'm here.
Nice.
With no prep.
I'm always terrified for those 18-wheelers going over those overpasses, because you got to feel like they can see right down onto the road. There's not a feeling of security. And then you see a piece of video like that. I think if I'm an 18-wheeler driver today, I retire.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a career.
I don't know
change,
about retiring,
guys.
But I'm definitely parking the vehicle for a second. You might get mad at me.
Yeah.
Those eggs are not getting to clean today.
I think I'm going to transition back to HQ. I'll be a manager. I'll be a dispatch coordinator or something.
How do those people navigate going through Colorado and those states like
those
narrow, windy roads and stuff and those big 18-wheelers? That's amazing those folks do.
Yeah, they're heroes.
They really are. They really, really are. Ice Road Truckers, you've seen that show?
My dad's favorite.
Oh, come on, man.
85-year-old dad, it's like he loves that.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
All right, our winner and champ right here is the guy that calls the play-by-play in Tampa Bay. What's his name?
Gene Dickeroff. Dickeroff.
What?
Dickeroff.
With an E.
He was pretty excited about the Baker Mayfield touchdown. Baker was in his bag, so he rushed his words out real, real fast.
Shot empty backfield look for Baker Mayfield now. Three receivers to his right. Good snap, belt high. Looking upfield, looking flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open, touchdown, Tampa Bay!
Vernon, it's still funny to me.
It is funny.
It is still funny to me.
Looking upfield, looking flushed out of the pocket. Dances outside, throws the ball upfield. He's got a receiver. Open, caught, touchdown, Tampa Bay!
And y'all said that man was in his 80s?
Yeah.
He is in his
79. Eric and I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, man. He is like, he is a trip to talk to. He's got a lot in his mind, man. He'll let you know. It's borderline on our basketball coach, PJ.
Carlos.
Yeah, it's like, give him a question, and 7 minutes later, you're going to get a good answer.
Stamina for days.
Yeah.
Eric, you talked about smoking a cigarette outside.
In the cold in particular, you know?
Boy, yeah. I tell you what, on the USS Enterprise, there's something called a smoke deck on there.
Oh.
It gets cold and it might get wet out there, right? But it does not matter. No sailors are going to be out there smoking them cigarettes, drinking that coffee, and that Mountain Dew.
That's the happiest hour of the day.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sure smoke deck was a getaway spot. It didn't matter your rank.
In the 90s, that was the place at a house party to get a chance to talk with somebody.
That's it. The smoke part, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't matter your rank or anything. You can run out there on that smoke deck, and you guys are the same guy all of a sudden. You can have all types of brass and scrambled eggs on your stuff, and now you're the same guy. Hey, man, can I get one of those camels? You like those camel blues? Okay. All right. I'll give them a shot. I did not get to play this one. This happened right before the New Year's. Noah Eagle was on the mic doing a play-by-play, and he did an impersonation of his father.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I would get home, and it would be, clean your room. And I would say, not today. And he would say, breakfast denied. And I'd say, I want some eggs. And then he would say, broken ankles and yolks. And I would say, I'm not hungry. And then I'd get grounded. That's usually how it would go.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Nobody knows you like your old, kids. Old man. You know. My dad knows me pretty well. I was talking to him yesterday, and I said, man, I'll tell you what, Pops. I took like 2 weeks off the gym, and I can feel it. It's just sitting in my belly. He said, well, I'll tell you what. If you can look at yourself in the mirror, butt naked and like it, you'll be all right.
You'll be all right.
You'll be all right. Do you like what you see?
That's the point, Dad. I really.
I said, how did you know me, man? You know me so well, bro.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago. I was amazing. What happened? Why did it go away so fast? Yeah.
I feel like my dad, parents know you so well that they have stuff that they're not even going to tell you because they don't want to break your spirit. I told Abby a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I know you better than you know yourself. You should listen to me a little bit more. You
know? I've heard that my whole entire life. Boy, I know you better than you know yourself. I know what you're going to do before you do it. And I'll be damned if he wasn't right. All right, LA is not a real place. Now, shout out to everybody that's dealing with those fires. That is really scary. Yeah. The planes that pick up the water and drop it on places are amazing. I watched that.
Yeah.
And the precision, they're behind each other. Like, there's one plane picks it up and it drops it at a particular spot. Then there's another plane right behind him and he drops it right in that same spot. Wow. It's amazing to watch. Like, how did y'all do that? Y'all so good. It's flying.
The helicopter guys have figured out how to play the wind. Like, they'll drop that red dust that they drop.
And that's where they aim?
And they aim. They move it over, and then they aim it where the wind blows it over the top of the fire. There's some talented guys and gals flying these planes and helicopters.
But everybody in LA is not taking it serious. Let's go to the news.
Why is there a fire happening right now?
There are multiple fires that are taking place.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
In the news, though, you're supposed to know.
Well, I don't know how it started. We don't know how it started. There, you know,
I think
winds.
It's all the gay people in LA.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
We got the.
What?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. That's it.
Biblical.
There's a fire? What?
Yesterday was a church day. Pray you got your blessing, all that good stuff. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor. I got to get out of here, but I would not go to this church because what are they doing? Keep Sweat. They're singing a remixed version of Keep Sweat for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, bro. I'm walking the hell out. I'm putting my church finger up, and I'm like, all right, that's good enough for me. I'm out of here. I'm going back to the Soprano.
The circle?
Yeah, I've got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. Man.
Give me the Soprano singer. I'm going, get this out of here. All right, that's it for me, bro.
Man, I'm wondering about this 18-wheeler. What would have happened if that light pole was, oh, that light pole did not stop him? I don't know what stopped him. It looked like he, like, what do you call that, where the
jackknife?
The cab goes one way?
Yeah.
It jackknife. Dang, you're sliding right out of there. I don't think I'm going to be able to go over an overpass for the next 5 years without thinking of this moment here. It's permanently etched into my brain. Is it Gene Dekaroff, two-time champion? Is it Noah Eagle, impersonation of Dad Ian, growing up? L.A. news coverage of the fire or church worship? Nobody. I'll go with the champ. I'll go with the champ there. What do you think, Chief?
Thought about going Dekaroff there as well, Dawson, but I think I'm going to go with the L.A. news.
He says it so seriously, you know what I mean? I'm gonna go with Tampa Bay, man.
Wolchuk.
Harlem Cannons, fire!
And Brian.
Yeah, let's go with Gene.
By a score of 4-1, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Gene Dekaroff. He's got a receiver. He's going out of field.
I crap my pants.
We're talking with Mike Golic Jr. coming up at 3 o'clock. Of course, his Irish are in the semifinals tonight, so looking forward to that. But so we'll do NFL news of the day coming up next. Wolchuk, what do you have for us?
Oh, the Raiders aren't done yet. Oh. We got more coaching news, and is it more important to keep this Cowboy after he got this award? That's next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Mike Golic Jr. is coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll be talking playoffs with him. It's time now for Zach Wolchuk's NFL News of the Day. Here's the Wooly Bully.
All righty, let's do this. Congratulations to Kevontae Turpin. And he was just named the NFLPA All-Pro Kick Returner. That is the second time in his career he's been voted an NFLPA All-Pro by his peers as a kick returner. So that adds to his resume. He's about to be a restricted free agent, but the weapon that he is as a punt and kick returner, I think that the Cowboys got him more involved offensively this year than they have in previous years for him, but still maybe not as much as another team could. But I think he's a guy that you put a restricted free agent tender on. Maybe it's a second-round tender. I think other teams are probably going to be interested. But because of his value on special teams, now he's an all-pro for the second time. Does that make you a little bit more, gosh, we need to make sure we get Kevontae Turpin back?
I think it makes it really interesting. I think it's important how Dallas does put a tender on him. Is it right of first refusal? Is it going to be one of these kind where you try and get some compensation back on it? They've changed the rules so much since I've done this. But, yeah, the tender is going to be very important. There's going to be people that look at him as a legitimate weapon. And the fact that he showed up on some offensive snaps, you know, some versatility from the backfield, from the slot, from the outside, downfield plays, kick returner, punt returner. You know, you take him. Bill Parcells used to talk about, when I take you to the game, how many plays am I going to get out of you? You get some plays out of this guy. I'm sure there's some teams out there that are thinking, you know, if we had that kind of weapon, especially with the way that people are now bringing the ball back to like midfield and the ability to take it all the way, you know, he seems to be a guy that people would look at and say, yeah, right of first refusal, sure, no, we don't mind. But you know, I think he set himself up to potentially get him a big payday.
We also have Diana Rossini. She has reported that Tom Telesco is out along with Tom Pelissero at the NFL Network. Mm-hmm. He's been fired, mostly because ownership seems to apparently prefer having the general manager and head coach more connected, like a cohesive partnership, rather than something that feels more arranged or forced. Brady also, as we've talked about, has a lot of influence there. You know, Tom Telesco, though, just had a pretty damn good draft in his first year in Vegas. He took Brock Bowers, who's looking like the best tight end in football already as a rookie. He's setting rookie records, 112 catches, just under 2,000 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns. They took a guy the Draft Show was a huge fan of, Brian Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
In the second round, he only allowed 2 sacks, gave up 23 pressures. And then maybe the all-time name team, DJ Glaze, as an offensive lineman as well. 3 sacks, 51 pressures allowed. All of them pretty darn good. So, you know, those are three picks that I think, man, you hit on them. Tom Telesco, I get it. You want to have your head coach and GM aligned. But maybe you want to go ahead and rethink that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, Walchuk, I'm all about having the head coach and the general manager being on the same page. And you're probably able to get a better head coach out of this situation knowing that that head coach will kind of have a little bit more alignment with whoever the GM is. You see with Ben Johnson right now, like, I think if Ben Johnson ends up with the Jaguars, it's probably because he booted out Balky and got his own guy. I think you want that uniformity, and that's part of the reason why I think the Bears are dropping the ball here. Like, they just need to clean sweep this thing and start anew, and they just refuse to do it.
It might end up being Ben Johnson's more attractive there now as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could end up being a thing. We also have tonight... tomorrow night, you've got the Cotton Bowl going on. We got good news, not an NFL update, but Cameron Williams from Duncanville is supposed to be playing in that game. So that's a big boost. And then how about Jalen Hurts? He practiced yesterday. He looked pretty good. All signs are pointing towards he's going to play. We got the news late during the show yesterday. The 49ers are going to be moving on from Javon Hargrave, their defensive tackle, but not Deebo Samuel. Deebo seems to be safe there in San Fran, but Hargrave, man, that's a guy that, he was kind of rumored as maybe a Cowboys interest during that draft. He has that knee problem, though. I don't know if it's one of those degenerative knee issues. I can't remember exactly what it was. But as a big defensive tackle, I don't know how much he's going to exactly be looking for on the market. That could end up being a guy Osadigizua gets more than he does. Could he end up being a cheaper veteran replacement? I don't know. It's your bargain shopping. Maybe Hargrave's not in that category. But I'm always looking through a Cowboys lens here.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate looking at it through a Cowboys lens. If there's an opportunity there, I would love it. You know, I think he'll probably still be too expensive for this Cowboys front office, considering, you know, what their agenda is and what their mindset is as far as free agency goes right now. I just think it's outstanding. You know, the Niners have done an awesome job over the last 5 or 6 years of finding Hargrave after they had to let another one of their defensive tackles go. I forget his name. Was it Eric? But anyway,
Yeah,
you know, this is just another reason to believe that, you know, the Niners' reign of terror is over. And I don't know how they should look at Deebo. You know, I know that the best the best organizations that can maintain greatness would look at a player like that on the decline and decide we have to move on and find the next guy if you're no longer capable of doing what you used to do but are still commanding close to top of the market money. You know, I think the Niners front office is making a couple of mistakes that the great Bill Walsh would not.
Here is Josh Allen, who is discussing Joe Brady, his offensive coordinator. And you know, I don't know that Josh Allen's really a huge fan of Joe Brady, listening to these comments.
Hey Josh, Joe has been getting some looks here, interview requests, I guess. You've been through this before, but what's he meant to you this season?
Nothing. He hasn't done anything for us. Team should stay away from him.
Stay away. He does nothing. Terrible play caller. Has not helped me at all. All teams should stay away. Take him off your wish list.
Yeah, I tell you what, he did a great job at LSU. And you look at where, you know, it's a shame. I mean, he went to Carolina with Matt Rhule, and you kind of thought maybe this would be something, a good, you know, stepping stone for him to be a head coach. But, you know, going to Buffalo, you know, Ken Dorsey was already the primary play caller. Joe was working with the quarterbacks, and now, you know, they get rid of Ken Dorsey, and then they name Joe, and they've been on a run ever since. But he is really, really very bright. I'm grateful for what he did at LSU in 2019 with Chase and Joe Burrow and those guys and getting that national championship for LSU. Really good coach, offensive coach.
He was one of those names that wasn't far off from Ben Johnson a couple of years back, and maybe he's heading in that direction. But, you know, he worked with Sean Payton in New Orleans for a couple of years last decade, and ever since then, I mean, he was just storming through and he gets the championship. And then we hadn't heard much, you know, after the move to Carolina. I don't know who could have made that whole situation work, but, yeah, I think Josh Allen knows old Joe Brady is back to being one of the hot names in coaching.
Last stat that I want to leave you with before we welcome in Gojo to the show. This is one where you were talking upsets previously, Brian.
Yeah.
Since 2017, Sean Payton is 30-12 against bald head coaches. Now, I thought I was getting ball sacked by this boys, but I've seen the homework, and it's accurate. So 30-12 against bald coaches. You're talking wins against guys like Jim Caldwell, Sean McDermott, who he's playing against and is bald, Todd Bowles, I mentioned, Dan Quinn, Hugh Jackson, Marvin Lewis, Mike Tomlin, Bill O'Brien, Bruce Arians. He fares well against bald coaches. So maybe this is, hey. You know, hey, I just want to give you the information. Do what you want with it, but he might own Sean McDermott and the bald man.
Sounds like Broncos by a million, Wolchuk. Lock it in.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Zachary. NFL News Today, most afternoons, 3 o'clock. But as he mentioned, Mike Golic Jr., Notre Dame alumni, Notre Dame player. He's obviously fired up. He's just an absolute wealth of football information, and he'll join us to preview the playoffs, maybe talk some NFL playoffs with you as well coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on a frosty Thursday, and we're back with the remaining 4 hours of the show next in the nation.